Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, we are continuing the discussion of businesses and estate planning.
Yeah.
Been through a few sessions of this, and this is a subject that you felt was worthy of a full series of episodes because this does affect so many people's estate is their business considerations, and you have been on a journey so far. I don't know how much of a review you want to do this time before we launch into this week's subject, but
yeah, just a little bit that, you know, we've talked in the previous shows about the types of business structures there are. And we talked a lot about making sure you have proper insurances as your first line of defense and when somebody might need to use a business structure. So all of those can be found at legacyandfaith.com on our previous podcast versions. But you're right. This week, we really want to get into, well, what does it look like if somebody walks into my business, their business owner? So I really want to start focusing on what does the experience of a business owner look like in estate planning?
Okay.
Because it is a little bit different than your average individual. And that is because they've put so much into their business. And it really is a little bit of a journey for me to discover on what level of importance is the business. So
now, this is everybody who has like a self-employed business where it's just them making a widget or teaching a lesson or doing something all the way up to somebody who has a number of employees.
Absolutely.
Or maybe as a landlord of some kind with a lot of rental properties, you know.
Absolutely. And that, yes, it can be anywhere in between all of those that we have individuals with 50 to 100 employees versus the small business owner who's just an individual. And each one of these types of businesses has a different flavor and different purposes. And one of the first things that I really need to uncover is the intent of the business going forward for somebody. So in my business, I've talked a lot about relationships. Relationships are important for me as an individual, and I've really built an entire law firm structured around long-term relationships. So me building my business, I bring on individuals that I believe have that same foundational value so that they will be about the relationship first and other things secondarily. Why? Because I'm not going to do this forever. So I need to even now start thinking about what does it look like for me to hand my business off? Mm. So if I don't have the right people with the right mentality, it's hard for me to fulfill my vision and promises to my clients. And so if I was to come into my own office and interview myself, I would probably rather quickly discover that my desire is that my business continue on even if I'm no longer working it. Or now, estate planning is about really two major events. Number one, if I were to become disabled, so if I were to have a health issue and I couldn't work for a period of time, what does that look like for my life and how am I going to be taken care of? So to a small business owner, that could be worse than death because how do I fill in the gap with what I personally do if I'm not at the business? And then that's the second part of really estate planning, which it should be covering you well, is what happens if you die. And again, if my business vision personally is that I want my business to extend beyond my own self, longer than Paul Grant, I want to build something that is going to last and fulfill client promises and what they expect of my firm, then what does it look like if I were to experience a health issue? Hmm. What does it look like if I were to die? And For many of us who do not own businesses, what happens if I experience a health issue can become a little more of a self-centered viewpoint. And I'm not saying that in a negative way. A lot of times people go, oh, you're self-centered. That's a negative thing. In this particular instance, it's not intended to be negative. It means that we can focus on you, and that is the right thing that we should be doing. Mm-hmm. We need to make sure that you have the proper help, that your finances are being used in the proper way, that you have the right people in place to assist you both with health issues and finances. What does it mean to help other people? So some individuals are caretaking their family. So do you have a disabled child that needs financial assistance? Do you have children who are in their 20s who are considered legal adults, but everyone knows they're not? So you still need to help them financially. So all these things together are a kind of a more typical discussion point when I have clients in front of me, and we can become more self-focused during that time and during that conversation. With a business owner, they have this oftentimes thriving business, but they're so involved in it, their skill set is so necessary that if you remove their knowledge and their skill set, that the business will greatly suffer, cutting off income, potentially needing to let people go. And when you have employees, they become family to you. You have an extremely high sense of responsibility to your employees. As a matter of fact, almost all business owners that I meet are highly concerned with their employees to ensure that they can continue to have work and that their families won't be harmed if something goes wrong in the business. So all of a sudden, we have this huge intervening conversation with business owners of, well, then tell me what's going to happen to the business if you are unable to manage it. And most business owners are a deer in headlights with that question.
And this is beyond just it's time to retire.
Right.
We're talking about if you die unexpectedly, basically. What
no, no, no. If you're disabled. So if I had a health incident, so I have a heart attack, I'm wiped out for 6 months in recovery, right?
Okay.
I'm in a car accident and I hit my head and I have to recover for 6 months and I can't manage my business because I am focused in on recovering my health so I can actually live and live a lifestyle.
So this is part of the
quality.
This is part of the estate plan.
This is estate planning.
All
so
right.
Every estate plan should focus in on how do I best care for you if you find yourself in a position where you can't care for yourself. As a matter of fact, this is probably one of the biggest weaknesses I find in almost any estate plan that I review. Most estate plans simply give power away, but they give virtually no direction on what someone is supposed to do with that power while you are alive. I'll give you a very brief example. Is it a high quality? Is it a – not quality, value. That's a far better word. Is it a high value that if you had a health incident that you would want to remain in your home and be cared for in your home if it was medically possible and if it was safe for you? And most individuals would say, yeah, I would rather be cared for at home than a different facility. And then we start having conversations about, but I don't want to cause burden to my family. So then that rolls into then, would it be an appropriate use of your finances to hire nursing staff to come in, cleaners, food preparers, and other individuals that are going to be necessary to give you that flexibility to stay at home and recover versus being in a different facility. And so as a matter of fact, I've almost never seen a plan that has those basic simple questions answered inside an estate plan. So estate planning should be about, how do I take care of you as an individual first? Then with a business owner, there's such a bigger picture of people that they need to care for. So if something happened to me right now, I had a health incident, I didn't die. I need to make sure that my wife has full access to all assets. I need to make sure that my girls are financially taken care of, and that I have a business to where it is of a high value to me that I don't let anyone go if I'm not there. So therefore, how do I financially structure that? How do I realistically structure it? Who is able to manage my business? Who is able to make the business decisions? Who is able to make the financial decisions in my personal life, care for my girls if they needed help? This is a large picture item. And this is just one of the very first questions I ask out of the gate when we do planning. We haven't even gotten to the other questions. So what happens with every estate plan is, how do I take care of you? But to a business owner, boy, that is a much, much bigger question. Mm. And we have to start here, which is, what's your vision and who's going to have the business authority to make business decisions? Who's going to hire people? Who's going to fire people? Who has access to bank accounts? So most small business owners, they have a bank account in their business name. But there's no business structure on who then has the legal authority to access the business account if they had a health incident. Mm. That's a disconnect. That's a big problem. So when we start looking at business owners, it expands very quickly. So guess what? I need to know what type of accounts you have in your business so that we can make sure we have your business structured properly with the estate plan. And I think this is where a lot of plans go awry as well, which is sometimes business owners have a business plan. Mm. Great. Good job. Sometimes they even have an estate plan. Marvelous. They oftentimes, almost never, do they work in connection with each other. Mm. And that is a disconnect. So here we've spent time and energy and money on a business plan and on a personal plan, but we didn't have somebody who was able to connect the dots and integrate them to ensure the success of both personal finances and business finances. And this is why working with small business owners, I say, is one of the more complicated. I actually think it's actually one of the more fun discussions as well in pulling this whole puzzle together. I like puzzles. This is why I like being an attorney. So I see it as a puzzle. And how do I make all of the puzzle pieces connect for one picture instead of having disconnected pictures, one working over here, another working on the side? And so that's what needs to happen for business owners. You need a strong estate plan. You need a good business plan. Are they working in unison? The majority of the answer is no, they're not.
Hmm. Okay, getting complicated, but there are answers. Businesses in estate planning, an important consideration if this is something you're facing or you have other needs of Paul's services. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, and it's all found at legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of The Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, looking at businesses and estate planning, a very important subject. Paul Grant, small business owner himself.
And I am.
So this is a subject that's near and dear to him. He says this is something that gets very complicated, and people don't usually plan for this aspect, but it's very important. My question at the break, Paul, was we always talk about the executor, the personal representative who's going to manage your estate. And if you've got a business, that sounds like it's the rare person that could do both, the personal estate part and the business estate part.
Oh, so, yeah.
Unless the husband and wife own their business together.
So, yeah, that happens sometimes.
We usually think of the spouse as being the first choice for the personal representative, but maybe it isn't. And it requires quite a skill set to do both of these.
Absolutely. And it's a really good question, because that is one of the more difficult parts, which is, and we'll just hunker down here on what happens if I have a health incident and I'm a business owner. So again, standard estate planning, we protect your assets and add some instructions on how to use them. But here we have this whole entity that has to be cared for. And so sometimes if it's a small business and a husband and wife are both involved, that happens. I don't know if it's a majority of the time or not, but quite a few of my business owners are a husband-wife mix in one way or another, where one of the spouses doing the books and the billing and managing the office, the other one having the skill set of whatever that means and running the business as far as going out and doing the projects and doing the work. So in that type of a scenario, the spouse would actually have the insight and some of the relationships potentially built in. Let's use a contractor. So the husband is out building the homes, but the wife spouse's internal office and managing everything. Well, oftentimes the spouse managing the office is going to have other relationships. They have subcontractors, they have other people. And so something happens to the one who is out in the field. Oftentimes the one in the office knows the relationships and can plug and play and get the appropriate help. Might they not make the profit on the project that they were anticipating? Might they even lose a little bit on the project that they were not anticipating? But could they get the project done? Could we get the business continually moving forward? Oftentimes, the answer is yes, because there is intimate understanding of the business by both spouses. However, disconnect that, and one spouse has a job elsewhere, and they work 9 to 5 or whatever hours they're going to be at their own job, and now we have another person managing and running a business. So now what happens? Now there's often a massive disconnect, and so a part of the decision-making tree of if someone was to become ill or have a long-term recovery for an illness or accident, how does the business continue to be managed? And you're right, the spouse who has their own job doesn't have the time, the energy, and the ability to now turn everything and focus to managing a second business that they may actually have no understanding of. So finding the appropriate people, who actually does know your business? And these are questions that need to be asked, which I do ask business owners. Mm. So who would be the person who would step in that can maintain the functioning of the business? And that could mean separate things, actually. That could actually mean the skill set, which is one aspect of running a business. That could mean the administrative component of actually the bookkeeping, the bill paying, the managing employees. That could be a whole different person. Mm. Oftentimes, we need multiple people coming in to run a business where one person is doing it, because if you start a business, you've probably worn every single hat in that business as you expanded and as that business grew. Hmm. But Now, to replace you takes multiple people, not just one specific person. If you have a partner, well, oftentimes that would just fall to the partner. We would increase their salary potentially, but the business might be taken care of, but your income as the one who needs to recover might be minimized because the other partner is taking over everything. So oftentimes finding the right person means we have to have a specific section in our trusts that deal with the business specifically. So the personal assets, spouse, we're still back to a spouse. Even if they don't manage the finances regularly, we can get them assistance. If you have a financial advisor, a CPA, our firm can give direction to our current clients on how to assist managing personal assets. When it comes to the business, that's a very, very different viewpoint. Mm. That takes in-depth conversation of who knows your business and who could run it, who can make the decisions. Sometimes I have clients with multiple rentals, and the daily grind, the weekly grind of actually managing multiple homes or a small complex with tenant issues going in and out. If a tenant goes out, having the right person go in and paint and clean and or even remodel. Oftentimes, small business owners are doing all of those functions. They've learned how to be the contractor so that they can keep their costs minimized and the profits coming to them through that business venture. But if the spouse who is healthy, and so now the business owner themselves is unable to do the work, well, it's one thing to find a contractor who could come in if a tenant leaves to do painting or fix up and do that, and it may cost more. But I think most of us could potentially find someone to assist with that type of a functionality. But managing the books, making sure people are paying their rent on time. What if somebody falls behind? What if it's time to evict? So where are all these different relationships? Where do we have them laid out? Does someone know how to find all those different contacts if you're the one managing everything? Mm. It may sound completely ridiculous, but in my law office, we develop a pretty full estate plan. So it's not just your basic 10-page document or trusts or 30 pages. No, they're bigger. They're more in-depth. There's a lot more instructions. Well, because of a conversation like this, you have a business owner, you have to add in complete business details. So now, at the end of the day, we put everything in a binder and hand a binder to a client. Well, it says, it's the stupidest example I could come with, but yet important, which is who knows how to order binders in my business. But all of a sudden that would take quite some time for people scrambling through finding the last time we ordered them, finding how do we order it? And it would steal somebody's time when I can just give very quick instructions on where to go. Hmm. So you take me out of the picture, and even the most simplistic, mundane part of the business is potentially in jeopardy. Or it's just going to absolutely steal somebody's time. And finding something that small, if I'm not there, the business environment is already heightened. The stress level of the firm is already heightened. And so that would just be something that puts people over the edge, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I want to reiterate, too, something you've always said is that an estate plan isn't just for when you die.
Right.
It's for if you just are incapacitated for a while.
Yeah.
Or maybe for the rest of your life.
Or but permanent.
You're hanging in there. But you need an estate plan that covers both scenarios, not just when you've gone from this earth, but if you're injured or incapacitated, too.
Yeah. And with a small business, there is a layer of discussion that takes much longer, much more involved because oftentimes we don't have the right people. And so we have to look at different places. We have to look at one or two places to get that appropriate help. The first place is, do we have family members that can lend the assistance? So again, that's the spouse is also a part of the business. Do we have a child who started working inside the business? Both of my girls, not interested in law. Oy. So no internal business structure in the family for my personal business, which means then that I have to look internally into the walls of my business. Do I have the right people with the right skill set and the right personality? They may know the business, but are they able to handle the additional pressure as the owner? It is very different being an employee than it is making all the decisions. Oh. And there is a different weight on somebody's shoulder if I was out of the office and it came to them to manage all of those issues. Now, add one more layer of complication for attorneys and for other types of professionals, which is I am beholden to have a law license, which means that no one else can run my law office without being an attorney. So therefore, I need to have a more narrow group of help. So what if I have somebody inside the office that knows the office really well, could manage it? Great. But they can't give legal advice. So therefore, I am required to have another attorney actually deal with clients. So I have internal structure of an attorney in-house, but I also have external structure as a backup, which is another relationship with an attorney. So isn't that good to know that the one who's doing the planning actually has his own plan set and ready? So many, many different integrated kind of spider webs here with what happens when we have a client that comes in to do estate planning, but then has a small business. And this could, again, small means anywhere from you're running your own business up to having 100 type of employees. So small business owners, you need to have a strong strategy for your business and a strong strategy for your estate plan. They must say the same thing. They must be integrated. So if you haven't done any of that, it's time. It's time to get on the horse and start thinking about it. Carve out the time. Carve out the importance. Your employees rely upon you. Your family relies upon you. It's time to do estate planning.
Okay, businesses and estate planning, the subject this week. If you need help with this or anything else, how do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Well, head over to my website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us. Head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.